everyone, and welcome to our EY Careers Uncovered podcast series. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be focusing on school leavers and apprenticeship opportunities. I'm Verity Pope, and I'm part of the UK employer brand team. EY is a professional services organisation that helps companies make better decisions about business, finance, and technology. How? By asking better questions to help us all build a better working world and to create long-term value for our people, clients, and society. This podcast series is here to cover a range of topics around apprenticeships, belonging at EY, what it's like working in the regional offices, and embracing the new normal that is a virtual working world. It's important to know that when we recorded these podcasts, the United Kingdom went into another national lockdown, so all of our people are working from home. Our people and apprentices will be sharing their stories in their own words, and I hope each episode leaves you feeling inspired to consider an apprenticeship opportunity with us. In today's episode, we'll be focusing on why having a culture of belonging is so important for apprentices joining an organisation like EY. We'll also be discussing how the events of 2020 have made a huge impact on the work that we're doing to drive our belonging purpose even further and making sure that our people feel confident and committed to the actions we're taking. I'll be speaking with Sana Butt, Student Talent Advisor and Events Lead of the EY's Race and Ethnicity Network. I'm also chatting with Sana Causa, 2018 Executive Assistant Apprentice on our Business Administrative Apprentice Programme based in Birmingham. She shares her personal experiences of feeling included and proud to work at EY and the fantastic achievements she has as the former National Communications Lead for EY's Muslim community.
So, okay, just wanted to say today, ladies, welcome to our podcast all about belonging at EY today. I'm so glad to be speaking with both of you. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. We know it's a busy time and there's a lot going on. Sana from the student talent team, what I'll do is I'm going to start off with asking how you are today. How are you feeling today, or how are you feeling at the moment?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, it's a surreal time right now, just working from home, having to manage myself, my husband and my mum right now. It's like having two children around me at times. it's a mad time for everyone, I think. So otherwise, I'm feeling good. I think the winter is making me a bit lazy and lethargic at times, but trying to stay as active as I can be right now. But yeah.
Cool. And Sana Kay, what about you? How are you feeling today?
Yeah, feeling excited. Again, I agree with Sana, but in terms of the winter and the dark, it gets dark a lot earlier now, so you can get a bit lazy. With the whole lockdown and working from home, did struggle at the beginning a lot, trying to switch off from work and focusing on home stuff. I still live with my parents, so it's nice to spend a little bit more time and see them more often as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Can I just say, this is the biggest coincidence ever that you are both called Sana and that we have asked you to come on the podcast to talk all about belonging at EY. So what we'll do on the podcast today, because this is a first, we will kind of, Sana from Talent, we will refer to you as Sana from Talent, but and obviously Sana Kay, you are on the apprenticeship programme, so hopefully we can get that groove going. And you're not based in the same office, are you? You're on completely different teams. So Sana, from the student talent team, where are you based?
So based in London, 1MLP is my office. Occasionally stepping into Canary Wharf as well. But yeah, well, when we were in the office.
Yeah. What about you, Sana?
And I'm in the region, so I'm based in the Birmingham office.
From a student talent perspective, Sana, can you tell me a little bit about, you know, what it is you do, how long you've been with us at EY, and a bit about your role?
Yeah, so I joined EY September 2017 now. So, gosh, yeah, it's like my third, stepping into my fourth year now, technically. But yeah, so I've kind of had many hats within the student recruitment team, a main one being looking after their events. So I sit on the early identification team right now, looking after their some of their early identification programs, such as Discovery Why Black Heritage in Business and the summer internship program as well. Alongside that, obviously, you have various other hats within EY. So I sit on the leadership team for the Race and Ethnicity Network. So that's an employee network we have within EY.
And Sana, from an apprentice side, can you talk about your apprenticeship at EY, what program you're on, and how long you've been with us?
Yeah, so I joined EY in January 2018, so it was right after Year 11 and my GCSE exams. And I came in on a Level 3 Business Administration apprenticeship in the Executive Assistant role. So I'm coming up to just under 3 years now. The programme itself was 16 months at Level 3, and it was in partnership with BPP University.
So many people, when you speak to the apprentices, when they join us, they say, you know, it was that the people that you meet along the way that really helps you define and choose EY as the company that you want to work for. I don't know if you've felt that, Sana.
I absolutely agree. I think the people value at EY, to think it's such a large corporate firm, but yet you still feel that individual care that, you know, your team has for you or your coaches and managers have for you. I think that's one of the reasons why I actually stayed after the apprenticeship at EY.
Amazing. Great. It's so important to feel like you belong. We can say that we have a culture of belonging at EY, and I absolutely can see that every day. To me, it means, you know, that everyone should feel comfortable, everyone should be their best selves each day at work. But what I guess I wanted to know specifically, and Sana, from a student side, from your perspective, what does that specifically mean to you? What does belonging at work really mean to you?
I think it's a tough one, because naturally, like, you want to be able to be who you are at home, at work, and at work as well. You know, there's no point putting on a front and being someone completely different at work. So like, for me, I'm a Muslim, I practice Islam, I'm a woman as well, like things like that make up who I am. I want to be able to comfortably bring those to work as well. So for example, if I'm fasting during Ramadan, I don't want to kind of have to keep that on the down low, so to speak, and then try and almost adapt to a 9-to-5 routine when actually, you know, last Ramadan we were awake at like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and then trying to make like a 9 a.m. start, for example, is not really possible. So, you know, things like being able to comfortably speak to my line manager, like negotiate my hours during Ramadan, like things like that make me feel like I belong at a firm, because it's about my team understanding. Yeah, of course, you're going to be tired, you're going to be shattered, you're not eating anyway. So, you know, things like that will then feed into me belonging at work, because the fact that I can openly have those conversations just shows that I am being my true self at work.
And what about you, Sana? How has your team kind of adapted to this, especially in the Birmingham office? That's obviously a regional office. How have you adapted to this kind of world of work to make sure that you are still all belonging as a team?
Yeah, so in the Business Support Centre, we have a social committee, which anyone can really be part of, but they sort of look after our social events or drinks, lunches and dinners when we were in the normal environment. So since we've been in lockdown, they put on some awesome virtual shows, quizzes, movie nights. And that just, again, makes you, in the evenings, and that just makes you feel like, you know, you're out having fun and you're not working, but you're not at home sometimes. So that's, I think, kept me going a lot. And others, we have, well, we're quite a large team. We're a team of 90 executive assistants in the Business Support Centre. So having huddles, having that check-in from our director as well as our team leaders. And I think just being on a call where you can see everyone's faces live, that's just, I don't know, when you have one of those calls, we have them usually once every other week, it just sort of gives you that new energy and, you know, can-do attitude.
Cool. So something I really wanted to find out from both of you is, you know, how you have been managing to make others feel like they belong as well, because obviously it's really good to make sure that you feel belong and there are things that you can do. But is there anything that you think, you know, that you've been doing to make sure others are feeling like they belong? I think, Sana, you touched on it earlier, obviously, by saying things like asking people of how are they and from a Birmingham side, the huddles. But what else are you trying to do to make others feel like they belong?
So I also sit on the EY Muslim community. So that's one of the five faith-based networks that we have at EY. I used to just be the Birmingham representative for the community. Then I moved up to the co-regional lead role. So I looked after all of our regional offices and what events we had planned, facilities like prayer rooms or our weekly Friday prayers, and making sure everyone was okay with that. And then, of course, we went into lockdown and everything moved to a virtual world, and we didn't sort of need two people managing the regional offices. And then this year I got moved to become the national comms lead, which has been a massive change, really challenging. But at the same time, I'm now tapping into new stuff that probably otherwise I wouldn't have done. So my role with EYMC being that point of contact for a community of over 700 members globally, making sure that if there is something, like, for example, being Muslim, we pray 5 times a day. And when we recruit, when we've got new members or we've got apprentices joining, making sure that they feel it's okay to block your time out for 15 minutes for midday prayers or whatever else it might be. And just making people feel valued and making people feel that faith isn't something that you feel that you might have to hide, and if there's something that we can do, and we're here as a community to support you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's so important. And Sana, you're on the Race and Ethnicity Network. You touched on it earlier. Can you talk a bit about your role within the Race and Ethnicity Network as well?
Yeah, sure. So I sit on the leadership team for the Race and Ethnicity Network. So I kind of look after their events for them, naturally. It's just my one cap that I wear across every kind of role that I have. So I look after events for them, and just I think, like Sana said, like the communities, the employee networks that we have within EY have also probably played such a massive part in, you know, making people feel like they belong, even prior to COVID, but like obviously even more so now, like in terms of just checking in with people. I know our mental health community have done an exceptional job in terms of just making sure, you know, people are okay during this time. Our life network as well, you know, our parents, specific communities that we have as well, obviously with parents that have kids at home, I'm sure they're doing a fantastic job as well in terms of just making sure they're supporting everyone across the business. But the REN community's had what a year, a 2020 year, obviously. So we obviously became the voice for a lot of our Black colleagues in the business, running events to kind of support them in terms of, you know, giving them a voice, so to speak, throughout the various kind of events that we ran over 2020, each one being as powerful as it can be, leaving a strong echo where people actually, people across the business, service lines across the business, recognise that, you know, there's a lot of work to do. Obviously, we released our anti-racism commitments as well off the back of, you know, the noise that was created following the Race and Ethnicity Network events as well. So I think it's all kind of strengthened that whole belonging piece that we have at EY in terms of, you know, how there are, you know, how we can make people feel like they belong, and just making that better. It's been a weird year, I think, but now more so than ever, like, networks and communities that we have are just playing a pivotal part in the centre of that.
The network just did an amazing job at showing you this journey and helping you be an ally and you know, letting you do your own work, of course, but it's so important. And I think, like you said, those protests, those Black Lives Matter protests, were so, you know, emotive and poignant, and came at a time of where we couldn't hug each other. You touched about the anti-racism commitments that we have. What do they mean to you, especially as they have come from kind of, you know, our head of the UK and I team and the head of the financial services team? They've kind of come from, you know, the highest people obviously in the UK. How does that make you feel about those anti-racism commitments?
I think they were incredible. Like, I know the business took their time in terms of thinking about it, but I think when you're making something, when you're actively trying to make such a pivotal movement in the right direction, you do have to think about it. You do have to make sure that, you know, you're bringing out goals and commitments that you can, that you know will make a massive active change in the right direction as well. So I think they're a great step in the right direction. And obviously I'm excited to review it 1 year on this year when we have a look back and see how far like the business has come. But yeah, I think it was much needed, and I'm just really proud of us as a firm to like have put those out there. Just having the backing of all our senior leadership in terms of we have to do this, these are our commitments now, I think that just speaks volume as well. The fact that, you know, we're all united as a leadership team as well, and that's been cascaded down across the business. Like, I think that just speaks volume too.
Let's go to Sana Kay. From a anti-racism and commitments perspective, how did they make you feel? Did you take part in any of the webinars and the events that obviously Sana's team were running and watching?
Yeah, I remember actually joining the very first Red Network event and being so shocked. I was actually messaging my colleague on the side and just couldn't believe how open and honest the conversations were and some of the stories that people felt comfortable sharing despite the senior people being on the call as well. And again, having that education that this stuff does exist, it does happen, and an education journey for me as well. It was surreal and it was very emotional to see. Absolutely. But then again, feeling incredibly proud when the commitments came out and when you had those messages from the financial services lead and the UK and I lead that we've identified that there's a problem and this is how we're going to solve it.
And do you feel like the Lives Matter movement that happened last year, huge changes that happened with COVID, do you think that's provided any change in the way we make sure all of our colleagues feel like they belong and making sure they're okay?
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, I think it's brought us together even more than we were in the office. As I said, we are a team of 90 and we have home workers and some people who only are one day in the office. And then on the back of what happened with the Black Lives Matter movement, our Birmingham Black community, they ran a number of events. And again, I think that was at such short notice for them to get up, to set them up. And they were so interactive. We had cooking sessions and we had external speakers coming in and talking about, you know, their own experiences they feel like needs to happen. And again, having our Midlands partner being on that call and having our D&I partner also on those calls and engaging in those discussions, it just shows that, you know, the organisation that you work for do care. And I think, you know, when you say that they care, sometimes having just a conversation or just following up with you after the call, you know, are you okay? Is there anything I can do? That goes a long way and that means a lot. It doesn't always have to be that this big action that we're taking to make you feel better. Yeah. Just that little conversation goes a long way.
Can you tell me something you're really proud of since being at EY?
I think my proudest is setting up EY Outreach. So that was an initiative that me and my fellow apprentice at the time, we just sat in a meeting room. And I remember that week there had been a stabbing just not far from our office in Birmingham. And then we just had a conversation around youth violence and crime rates and how our young people are being segregated within society, whether it is because of, you know, the colour of their skin or whether it's just how they've been brought up or a lack of support in school and in education. So we started this journey, EY Outreach. In essence, it's a crime intervention and prevention programme. And then just a couple months ago for it to see and become an actual EY engagement with a partner and a director and a leadership team sat on something that started off with just this conversation with another apprentice. I think that was particularly like really proud, working with the local authorities and West Midlands Police to put this plan into action.
That's a huge impact. Just something that you can just be so proud of it and so impactful to such, you know, like students that are so young and have their whole lives ahead of them. I think it's an amazing opportunity. And again, you're kind of giving them a voice. And do you still, are you still very much involved in that, Sana, or is that something you're still working on?
Yeah, so we're working towards our first live delivery, which was meant to happen this year, but there's just so much going on with schools and their priorities at the moment that we might have to push back. But I mean, that in itself, seeing that project from the beginning stages, writing sales pitches, economic impact reports, and then speaking. I remember going in into the London MLP office, and we had this big meeting room with partners and directors, and there was me and my colleague, and we had to go and pitch this to them to get their buy-in. And that was so scary, so overwhelming. And again, that just goes back that people value, that rank doesn't define you. You just having this apprentice name tag doesn't mean that the contributions that you bring in are any less than someone who's in a permanent role or someone higher than you. And again, that's just, again, one of the reasons that I didn't, no one sort of a partner or director looked and said, oh, they're just apprentices. They fully supported us to bring it to life. And you can see that. And I mean, that just is still, I can't believe that a director and, you know, a partner invested in that idea and brought it to where it is today.
Literally, it's so incredible. So incredible, Sana. And you were nominated for a BAME Apprentice Award. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, so the 20 BME Apprenticeship Awards, I was nominated, and then I won highly commended in the legal and professions category. Again, that was such awesome news. I remember it was a virtual environment that we had. It was meant to be a face-to-face celebration. It got pushed back a couple of times, and then they were like, look, I don't think we're ever going to go back to face-to-face. Let's just do it virtually. And yeah, again, another proud moment that was, and to have that recognised across the industry, to have it on your CV, to have it on your profile, that's a really great thing.
It's incredible. It just shows how much, you know, from an apprentice, you know, you're really young, you're kind of straight out of school, but you're still making such an impact, and you have such you know, high regard from all of kind of your colleagues, like you said, the partner. It's incredible. You should be so proud. Also, what I was going to talk about is, I think a lot of students will be really keen to know how to stand out in a firm the size of EY. What could you say on that and share with us?
I think for me, anything that scared me in terms of speaking in a meeting or doing a presentation or getting stuck in on a project, I went and then done it. I think for my first couple months, you sort of get your peers telling you, why don't you come and do this? Or why don't you get stuck in this? And you sort of shy away from it, or it's too soon. And it's breaking those fears. So anything that's sort of a blocker for me was confidence. Like having this conversation here, I would never have done this. It's very difficult for me. But getting stuck in and not thinking that you know, you're not qualified enough, or someone else can do it better than you. If you've got that opportunity there, it's all a learning curve. And you know, grabbing those opportunities, and sometimes they don't come to you. Sometimes it might be, you know, pinging a colleague and saying, look, I know you're involved in XY project, it's of interest for me, can I sort of sit in on your next project call, or can I do anything? And having those conversations and starting to build those relationships, and they go a long way.
Absolutely, I agree. And what about you, Sana? I mean, you work and see apprentices all the time. I mean, work with them virtually now, but what would you say for students potentially joining a company our size? How would they belong?
I think recognize who you are and just own it. I think that's probably the best advice, you know. We are all different, we are all unique, and there's no reason that should kind of hinder us in terms of being able to achieve what we want to. You know, like, my faith shouldn't stand in the way, my gender shouldn't stand in the way, my ethnicity shouldn't. And I think until you accept who you are and, like, kind of, you know, become confident in that, like, naturally that will automatically start to show, whether that's in interviews, whether you're out networking at events, that kind of stuff. So just, you know, be proud of who you are, and that will naturally shine through.
It's just been an absolute pleasure chatting with both of you today. It's been really insightful. I've learned so much from both of you. It sounds like you're very busy, ladies. you do a lot. So yeah, just thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule.
Thanks for having
us. To chat with us.
If you've been inspired by today's episode and want to learn more about our culture of belonging, then head to our website at ey.com/UK/belong.